I want to start by thanking my co-authors, Dina Cox, Tony Cox, Scotty Craig, who, through my own mistake, was left off the submission, but has contributed greatly to this research, Anna Anderson, Janet Arno at Brizendine, and Barry Kent. Vaccination is one of the greatest public health achievements ever, and has led essentially to the eradication of smallpox worldwide and virtual eradication of polio. Hepatitis B virus and HPV are unique as vaccines for STI prevention. The success for these STI vaccines, as well as for any vaccine, is dependent clearly on the level of acceptance of vaccination by those most at risk. So it's important to develop clinical strategies to optimize vaccine uptake. One of the nice things about vaccination as well as diagnostic tests is that these are discrete behaviors. And as discrete behaviors that don't require, that aren't necessarily heavily socially embedded, they may be amenable, in fact, to simple, brief, persuasive messages. So the objective of this study was to examine the effects of brief theory-based message interventions on hepatitis B vaccine uptake. We used a randomized trial design with two sets of persuasive messages. One set were based on message framing theory. This is a little bit different from the plenary speaker's discussion of framing yesterday, which is a broader approach to framing. So in this, and I'll describe this in more detail later, but we had an information-only control group, a gain-framed message group, and a loss-framed message group. Patients were then re-randomized to a social compliance intervention condition. In one case, the vaccine was offered, and in the other case, the vaccine was recommended. The framing theory on which the framing interventions were based predicts that a gain-framed message, which emphasizes the advantages of the behavior, will be more effective with a preventive health behavior such as vaccination. The theory suggests that loss-framed messages are more effective with screening behaviors as opposed to preventive behaviors. But since vaccination is a preventive behavior, we were hypothesizing that gain-framed would work better. Social compliance theory predicts that recommending the vaccine will be more effective than simply offering the vaccine. So these participants were seeking care at SCD clinics in Chicago and Indianapolis. Inclusion criteria for this study was ability to understand English. They had to be 18 years of age or older, and no prior hepatitis B infection or vaccination by self-report. Patients were recruited from clinic waiting rooms and were administered a questionnaire via audio computer-assisted self-interview, or ACASI, which was used for data collection. And it was also used for the first randomization to the framing conditions, which was administered, in fact, by the ACASI. After the ACASI completion, the participants were re-randomized to one of two social compliance intervention conditions, which were administered by the healthcare provider that they were seeing for their STD clinic care. Subsequently, postcards for those who accepted the vaccine, postcards with the identified framing message were sent as reminders for the second and third dose appointment. So those, for instance, who were in the gain frame condition got a postcard emphasizing gain framing and so on. So to go into this a little more, a gain frame message emphasizes the advantages of getting hepatitis B vaccine. A loss-framed message emphasizes the disadvantages of not getting the vaccine. And then we had a control condition in which individuals just received information about hepatitis B and the vaccine. Low social compliance, the vaccine was offered. High social compliance, it was recommended. So we had a series of two outcomes. Our expectation was that, given that these are very brief interventions, that we'd have the most impact on first dose acceptance. That was a primary analysis, but we've also looked at follow-up with subsequent doses and total number of doses received. To give you an example of the a gain frame message that was administered, Angela felt very healthy and didn't believe she would be infected by the hepatitis B virus, but she followed the advice of the American Medical Association and got 3 hepatitis B vaccine shots over 6 months. Because of this, she's protected against hepatitis B infection. Now she is much less likely to get sick or die from serious liver disease, and she can look forward to a long and healthy life watching her child grow up. Now, these vignettes that we used were gender matched as well, so this is just one example. Here's Angela's Lost Friends example. Angela felt very healthy and didn't believe she would be infected by hepatitis B virus, so she didn't follow the advice of the American Medical Association and didn't get 3 hepatitis B vaccine shots over 6 months. Because of this, she is not protected against hepatitis B infection. Now she is much more likely to get sick or die from serious liver disease, and she may miss out on a long and healthy life watching her child grow up. So the control condition, this is information presented initially to all of the participants, but we re-presented this information to the control condition. We just said we want to remind you that hepatitis B virus can be transmitted by unprotected sex and by sharing needles. A vaccine for hepatitis B virus exists, requires 3 shots over 6 months to be most effective at preventing infection. The social compliance intervention was integrated into the regular clinical care and was delivered by the healthcare provider that they saw. The low social compliance condition was simply, we have 3 hepatitis B virus vaccine available. Would you like to get vaccinated? The high social compliance condition was, we have 3 hepatitis B virus vaccine available. I strongly recommend that you get vaccinated. And we wanted to be very crisp and very controlled in terms of how we vary these messages. So they really have just a very minor difference in the wording. We enrolled nearly 1,750 participants. 60% male, over 80% African American. Age range was 18 to 80, with a median of 29, so the 80-year-old was a bit of an outlier. But impressive, nonetheless. Vaccine uptake, overall, a little over 50% received the first dose. Of those who received the first dose, 47% returned for the second dose, and 58% of second dose recipients returned for the third dose. Just to show you the number of subjects that received each dose, so 832 got no doses of vaccine, 486 received a single dose, 183 received 2 doses, and 248 received all 3 doses of vaccine. So the results in terms of first dose acceptance using, in this case, multiple logistic regression, the outcome being acceptance of the first dose, we found that neither the gain frame nor loss frame condition were significantly better than the control condition in terms of uptake of the first dose. And they clearly were not different from each other, although that's not tested in this model, but you can tell since they have similar odds ratios compared to the control condition. The vaccine recommendation condition, however, did improve uptake of the first dose, so that those who received the recommendation had a 1.35 times greater odds of getting vaccinated compared to those who had the vaccine offered. And you can see here with framing condition that 49% in the control condition got the first dose, 54.5% in the gain frame, and 53.4% in the loss frame got the first dose. So again, some improvement in gain and loss frame over control, but not statistically significant, and gain and loss frame barely differed from each other. With respect to offered and recommended, 56.1% got the vaccine in the recommended condition and only 48.6% in the offered condition. In terms of the total number of doses, so here the outcome is 0 to 3 doses, we used multiple ordinal logistic regression. And in this case, what we did was combine, since gain and loss frames were not different from each other, we combined them into sort of an overall framing intervention versus the information-only control group, and then looked also at recommended versus offered. These are all adjusted odds ratios. So when we combine the framing conditions, What is interesting here is that, in fact, it affects the total number of doses. So the odds ratio is 1.25, which in this case means that if a person receives any of the framing interventions, they have a 1.25 greater odds of receiving each successive dose of vaccine. Similarly, in the recommended condition, there was a 1.3 greater odds of a person receiving each subsequent dose of vaccine. This was somewhat unexpected because we really expected the first dose to be the major response to these interventions, but in fact, it affected the total number of doses. Let me take you through this graph a little bit. What I decided to do is just look, since these are adjusted odds ratios, it was clear that the two interventions would have an additive effect. So the no intervention group, which is sort of the yellow dotted bar on the left, means that they were in the offered group and the control group for framing. One intervention means that they either received the recommendation or they were in one of the framing conditions. And then the bar on the right, which is sort of the hashed black and white bar, is if they received both the recommendation condition and one of the framing conditions. And so you can see sort of this pattern where the combined intervention had the fewest who received no doses. And there's sort of a dose effect for zero doses, one dose, and not at two doses, but then again at three doses. There's this dose effect for the message intervention. So in terms of first dose acceptance, neither of the framing conditions, gain or loss, is better than the control group. Recommending, which is, should be no great surprise, worked better than offering the vaccine. But again, I want to remind you that our two conditions were really only slightly different in terms of wording. In terms of total number of doses, the combined, any kind of framing or any kind of persuasive message seems to be better than no message at all, and recommending was better than offering. And there were apparent additive effects, so it's better if you do both rather than one or the other. So there's no support for the particular message framing theory that claims that gain frame messages are better than loss frame messages with this particular preventive behavior. But gain plus loss framed, or any kind of framing, as I was saying, is better than the control condition in terms of total number of doses received. And certainly there is support for social compliance theory in that recommending the vaccine results in higher uptake than offering it. So it's clear that simple, easily implemented interventions can increase vaccination rates and have a substantial impact on public health, including prevention of sexually transmitted infection. So what I would say is that words matter, and how we say things, how we recommend things, can have a huge impact on people's behavior, which is, in fact, very similar to what the plenary speaker was talking about yesterday. And I want to add additional thanks to Yolanda Grine-Dotson at IU and Rosalie Sirier at the Chicago Department of Health, who were invaluable. Well, everyone is informed, and we had within this audio computer assisted interview, we had several informational slides about hepatitis and about the adverse events. Difficult to present information without some kind of framing. Obviously, everything is framed one way or another. We tried to present the information in a very objective, dry manner, but we did want everyone to be informed. I think it would be, as you point out, if people don't know what hepatitis is, it's sort of silly to ask them their reaction to it. But so that there were some basic informational points given to every participant. It can be a story, yeah. You know, the basic tenet of this particular approach to framing is that game frame messages are supposed to work with prevention behaviors, whether it's sunscreen use, condom use, or a vaccine. I wouldn't take, that's not a a take-home message here because it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. But framing just means, in this case, emphasizing either the advantages of doing something or getting something that's gained friends and lost friends is simply emphasizing the disadvantages of not doing something. And there's no reason you couldn't do both. I mean, it's not like it takes an exceptionally long time to say, if you get this vaccine, you're protected. If you don't get it, you won't be protected, you know, and elaborate on that. I think that, in some sense, the message here is to talk to people about essentially why it's good to get vaccinated and why it's bad not to get vaccinated. And again, to me, the surprise was, because I really did not, even though I had hypotheses in the grant that this would affect follow-up, I really didn't expect the total number of doses to be impacted by these interventions, because they're very brief. We had to be kind of, because there was a time limit on the grant, we had to kind of set up some windows. There were a few people who came out of window, and we always gave them the vaccine, but we had to count them with respect to the research as not getting that dose. There were very few. I don't know. Yolanda probably could throw out a number, but maybe 8 or something out of 1,750. This was at STD clinics, and it was just patients of STD clinics. Okay, yeah. Right. Well, yeah, no, I understand. That's a good point. I guess what I would say is that if in fact all healthcare providers were recommending the vaccine, but I think in fact what you have with vaccines is a lot of times people have different feelings about how that message should be given. So I think the approach here was to make sure, was to demonstrate empirically basically that it is important to recommend. So I understand your point, but I think sometimes you have to, unless you can demonstrate to me that everyone is in fact following that, or even that most providers are following that already, which I don't think they are with vaccines. I mean, we have HPV vaccine, which is recommended for all 11 and 12-year-olds, but I understand your point, and there were some awkward moments when we had to make some decisions. I know Rosalie takes some of the time.
So I just had a question. So the take-home message for an STD director who's trying to offer a hepatitis B vaccine in a clinic, do you need to frame it all, or should you just say, I strongly recommend you get the vaccine for free, and I really recommend you get it?
Well, I wouldn't just leave it at that. I mean, I think you have to recommend it, but I think talking specifically about the advantages of getting vaccinated and what could happen if you don't get vaccinated certainly makes a difference as well, that these were independent predictors, and so doing both seemed to have an additive effect.